Our first story takes us deep into the world of alternative medicine. I'm talking really far out. Crystal healing. Here's reporter Stephen Jackson.
This is what a crystal sounds like. I'm getting a tour of the Crystal Room in Mount Shasta, California. Shasta is a New Age healing mecca with more crystal shops than bars. Rhea Summer Rain works at this particular shop, and right now, she's showing me the crystal singing bowls. They're big, round bowls made of quartz and other minerals. She plays one by rubbing a wand around the rim, kind of like what you'd do with a wine glass at a dinner party.
I just have a really feel to it. It just gets into your field and you just go,
And when you the shop has a huge inventory and prices range from a couple of bucks to nearly 20 grand. They have a gemstone for everyone.
Tourmaline, black tourmaline is very grounding. Citrine doesn't hold any negative energy. Rose quartz really works with the emotional body. Celestite connects you to the angelic realms, the celestial energies.
Rhea says crystal power has been around for thousands of years.
They've been used by priests, they've been used by shamans, they've been used by Native Americans, indigenous, aboriginal cultures, back before the pharaohs, okay?
The basic idea is that all matter is composed of energy, and crystals have energy that resonates with the natural vibrations in the human body. So, they're good for us.
They help us through meditation, they help us through direct contact. They help us to find balance, and balance is true healing.
Rhea and her coworker Saranam let me hold some crystals, so I can feel the energy myself.
Yeah, let him through here.
Here's a super high energy stone. Almost everyone can feel it. Works best if you hold it with two hands like that, or you can put it up to your third eye if you want.
Up here? Right?
Yeah, can do that too.
Put it on your third eye and really feel it.
Yeah.
Okay, full disclosure, I think I felt something, like a focused kind of zingy feeling. But there's one little problem.
There is no convincing evidence that crystals actually have any kind of healing properties.
That's Professor Chris French.
I'm head of the Anomalistic Psychology Research Unit at Goldsmiths, University of London.
French studies the science behind paranormal experience, and he thinks there's a perfectly rational psychological explanation for crystal energy. In the early 2000s, he ran a double-blind study where they gave participants real crystals and glass lookalikes. And as they handed them out,
we said you might feel things like warmth, a tingling sensation, and so on and so forth.
They wanted to know if priming people like this would change what they felt when they held the crystals.
And what we found was that people did indeed report the kinds of sensations that we had suggested to them. And it didn't make any difference whether we'd given them real quartz crystals or just fake crystals made from glass.
French says crystal power is really just the power of suggestion.
In other words, it's the placebo effect.
But that doesn't bother Sandra Gonzalez. She used to be a skeptic. That is, until crystals healed her son.
My youngest son has always suffered tremendously through his childhood with different physical ailments that we could never seem to pinpoint or completely rectify.
He had respiratory problems and behavioral issues too. At school, he was put in special ed. He saw lots of doctors, but nothing seemed to help.
It was years of, oh, he's allergic to this, oh, he's allergic to that. And after so many, tests, he was never better.
Then, a few years ago, Gonzalez and her family visited Mount Shasta for the first time, and they stopped at a crystal shop on the main drag. Inside, the owner noticed Gonzalez's son was having trouble breathing.
She picks up a large selenite wand. Selenite is a gypsum and is a natural fiber optic. She's whispering to him and making different movements around his body, holding the selenite to his thymus chakra.
Gonzalez didn't think much of it, but when they left the store,
my child running across the parking lot saying, "I can breathe, I can breathe." And I'm thinking, oh yeah, he's not really wheezing and laboring for breath like he normally does.
Since then, Gonzalez has been treating her son with crystals and energy work, and she says it's healed him. He went out for track last spring. He's out of special ed and on the honor roll. Dr. Paul Offit is a pediatrician at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the author of Do You Believe in Magic? The Sense and Nonsense of Alternative Medicine. He's thought a lot about alternative medicine, and he says we should strike the term from our vocabulary.
I think there's no such thing as alternative medicine. If an alternative medicine works, then it's medicine. If an alternative medicine doesn't work, then it's not an alternative.
Still, he understands the appeal.
Conventional medicine has limits, and I think there's kind of a mysticism to alternative medicine to which people are drawn. There's kind of this guruism, this notion that they are absolutely correct. And I think we're drawn to that surety, even though, frankly, when it's just the appearance of certainty.
In clinical trials, alternative medicine works no better than a placebo. But Offit says that doesn't make it useless.
I think the placebo effect is often dismissed as, quote unquote, just in my head. And that's seen as dismissive. But, you know, I think whether it's crystallography or acupuncture or prayer, one can do things like learn to release your own endorphins, learn to release things like gamma interferon, which can upregulate your immune system. You can learn to do things like release cortisol, which will downregulate your immune system. So I think there is a physiology to placebo medicine.
The problem, says Offit, is when people ignore conventional health care that could save their life in favor of unproven treatments. For instance,
somebody like Steve Jobs, you know, Steve Jobs had a neuroendocrine tumor that was perfectly treatable with early surgery. But instead, Steve Jobs chose acupuncture and fruit juices and coffee enemas and things that would have no chance of making his cancer better. And ultimately, he died because of those choices.
Thankfully, stories like that are pretty rare. Most of the time, alternative medicine is harmless. And on some level, it works, even for Offit.
I mean, so for example, I was in the hospital a few years ago for a surgery, and the chaplain came by late in the evening and asked if I wanted him to pray for me. I mean, he was a young and enthusiastic guy. I just couldn't say no. So he prayed for me. And while he was praying, I was sort of, it was very calming. I mean, do I think there's a physiology to that? Yes. And I think that this mysticism that surrounds alternative medicine also has at some level a positive effect because you're turning yourself over to something greater, which I think can be very calming. And so it's all studyable, and I wish it was studied. More.
With more research, certain alternative treatments could go from inexact science with mixed results to medicine we actually understand. But back at the Crystal Room in Mount Shasta, Rhea says no amount of data will change the way she feels about crystals.
No, not at all. Because I feel energy. You know, when people walk in the room, I can tell instantly if someone is centered and grounded and they have a healthy relationship with themselves and with the universe. And if they don't, then I tend to just avoid them.
When it comes to crystals, at least, we've reached an impasse, a familiar stalemate between science and belief. For The Pulse, I'm Stephen Jackson.